Alrighty, we are set and ready to roll for our Media Bids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in media sales. Whether you're talking about selling ads in print, your newsletter, your website, two of those areas, or all three of those areas, you're in the right space. Whether your circulation is paid, controlled, or free, you're also in the right space. So we're delighted that each of you and all of you are with us. As we get settled in, we're always going to encourage you to clear your desk, close your office door, turn off anything on the electronic side that might distract you and interrupt our educational opportunity here. It simply means that the more notes you make and the more notes you take, the more that we're going to transfer the knowledge to you, something that we consider the coach or coaching approach. So it's not an accident that there's not something on your screen that would simply create more many-tasking or multitasking. As we roll along in today's topic, we're going to be sharing with you a lot about how to dominate your market, and we'll also be fielding your questions. For those of you that sent your questions in advance, we have those in front of us. We've organized them, and we will be covering more related to that. By way of introduction, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the advertising sales industry since 1986. I launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and we launched Power Hour in 1995. Over the years, we've coached and guided more than 2,700 ad sales leaders and companies and teams in 14 time zones around the world. So simply the last 24 years has really been a joy from that perspective. In addition, we also host a Ad Sales Academy every Tuesday. It works similar to this, that you dial in on Tuesdays and join us. Big difference, we field your questions by voice, and every Monday you get an audio message, tools, templates, and so forth. If you'd like to learn more, simply come into our website, powerhour.com. Lastly, every time we come together, Jed and myself have three specific goals for our working here together. Number one, we want to share new ideas that will stretch and spur and stir your thinking. Number two, we want to confirm that if you hear something during the course of this education hour that matches what you're doing, we're going to send you what? A virtual high five, simply saying that you are already doing things that match best practices. And then third, the third goal are the serendipitous ideas, the little things that crop up and pop up that may or may not be actually related to our topic, and that's okay. We consider those the serendipitous ideas. Let me just confirm for just a second. Jed, are you with us?
I am. How are you doing?
Beautiful. Good to hear your voice. And so by way of introduction, Jed, the CEO and founder of MediaBids. Jed, we've been rolling along for a decade plus together. I always love our working together. You heard my introduction. Why don't you say a few words about MediaBids? Love the presentation you gave us last month. Give us some opening words about MediaBids, and then we'll dive right into our topic, okay?
Sure. Well, thanks, Ernest, for taking the lead on this. Ernest brings an enormous amount of knowledge and experience to all of these teleseminars, so I always learn a lot, and I'm sure that everyone on the call will as well. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids, and we have been working with publications for 20 years. I come from the publication world. I was a newspaper reporter, and I started a chain of weekly newspapers, and then I started MediaBids. And so we're entirely focused on driving revenue to print publications, primarily for the print ads that they run, and we're big believers in print. We believe that, you know, that print has an enormous amount to offer. It's able to drive unparalleled quality of response, unlike virtually any other medium. We believe that there's a lot that print has to offer really any advertiser. We work with about between 8,500 or so, close to 9,000 publications. If you're currently working with us, thank you. And we'd love to talk to you more. If you're not currently working with us, we'd love to speak to you more about what we do and how we can help drive revenue. We send a follow-up email, and I welcome any comments or questions or, you know, concerns, you know, please let me know.
And as you're listening to Jed and his team literally work with tens of thousands of magazines over the years, literally hundreds of thousands of ads, and literally millions and millions of inbound leads, all tied to pay for performance. They know how to drive ad results. They know how to capture those results, then how to bring you revenue and really top-shelf advertisers. So they're a wonderful partner to work with from that perspective. So, Jed, today we're going to be talking about market dominance as an ad sales professional. And this is a topic sort of near and dear, and I want to preface this that there are strategies we're going to be talking about that will help you drive more media ad sales than you could ever imagine possible as long as you're driving ad results and are tracking those. I don't want to skip over that piece. I feel like there's that elephant in the room, Jed, that we talk about, that we have got to measure and track our ad results to be able to share those results with our advertisers and prospective advertisers. It means we're going to renew more and we're going to sell more. And the thought leadership piece wraps right into that. But you can't have thought leadership without the ad results, without the ad renewals, and therefore the confidence to sell the ads. Related to this, I was working with one of our media ad clients, and we were talking about inbound phone calls measured in calendar year 2017, then measured in 2018 and what the variance and what the difference was, and then even looking January through March this year compared to the same seasonal time last year. Why do we go down that path? Because we have to have that kind of data so that we can have the confidence to do all the other things that we're going to talk about today, okay? So this is like building a pyramid, and the pyramid base is wide and deep and strong, so you can build everything else up on top of it. If you don't have that, then the pyramid is upside down, it's pointy and skinny, and there's not a lot to build on. And if you wonder why you're struggling with your ad sales and your ad results, it's because the pyramid is upside down, and therefore it's a perpetual scramble, and we do not want that, okay? So just some opening words, and for those of you that joined us last month and heard the stats and the data and the information and the insight that Jed shares, he typically comes in once a year and shares that kind of information. I'm at the edge of my seat, Jed, always, as you know, because so much you're sharing that there's nowhere in the world that you could ever listen to that kind of data. You've got ad results on one side, and you've got media groups and publications on the other side, and you sit at the apex of the two, and I challenge any of you and all of you that to find anybody else or anywhere else that you can find that kind of information. So, Jed, again, I'm still reeling from last month, and I love when you bring that piece in. Do you add to that, Jed?
You know, but keep in mind, right, you know, we may be unique in the sense that we're doing it for thousands of publications and hundreds of advertisers. So we have a little sort of broader view. But that same view, right, that is so unique that we have is something that any individual publication can have for their own advertisers. And in many respects, the information that individual publications can generate about their advertisers is in many ways more granular and more, you know, maybe more valuable, right, than what we have, because you're able to say, okay, you know, just to make up an example, you know, a hardware store advertising on a Saturday is generating this much response, but a mattress store advertising on a Tuesday is generating this much response, right? I mean, there are things about individual communities and individual publications that are really, that are really difficult for us at sort of, at let's say 10,000 feet, right, to be able to see and to identify what those trends really are. So although what we have is unique, it's certainly not, irreplaceable, right? You know, it's something that individual publications can do and can generate really, really valuable information and insight into the habits and of their readership. Through some basic tracking mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then back to the story of working with the media group talking about results, Jed, 2017 versus 18 versus this year, year-to-date compared to the same seasonal time. Then I said, now break it down a step further. Can you tell me how your landscapers are doing, those advertisers, versus your pool companies, versus your tile and marble, versus your kitchen remodelers? You should also know those things as well. So the bottom line is, you know, this is the part related to market dominance. So now having said that, we set the framework, we're making those assumptions. Now let's talk about the other things and the rest of the things that we do to build that pyramid stack. Assuming our base is strong, let's go down the path, right? So the question would be, are all publications and are all media groups, are they the same, true or false, through the eyes of advertisers? Think about that. Through the eyes of advertisers, you're coming in for the 2 o'clock meeting. Do they see you as the same as the 1 o'clock meeting? Do they see you the same as your competitor at the 4 o'clock meeting? Okay, the answer is yes, they do. They put us all in that same bucket, okay? And that's what we're looking to distinguish ourselves from, and that's what sets us apart. They do see us. Yep, one more ad person. Yep, one more ad person. All right? Now, reverse the question,
right?
Okay? When you think about it, okay, from your perspective, as you look at each of your competitors, true or false, are you exactly the same from a media perspective? The way you go out to market, the way you have your distribution, the way you have your circulation, the way you have your readership, the way you drive your results? And the answer, of course, is no, you're different, okay? So the bottom line here is that's where the gap is, right? Advertisers see us as one bucket, and yet we know what the distinction is behind the scenes, and that distinction sort of sets the stage, right? From the moment we lean in and begin to give our presentation and walk through, and we believe in the terms of our space, in terms of media kits, having looked at media presentations for 3+ decades, clients and media groups all over the world, we believe there are 20 key areas that get included in every media presentation that are vital. It's your presentation that begins to set yourself apart. It's your presentation that shows how you uniquely go to market. It's your presentation that begins the distinction, what we call disrupting the status quo. If I'm in a presentation and I say, hey, look, here's our readership, and they go, wait a minute, I've never seen that. Hang on, what did you say about your readers? Hang on, what is their buying power? Hang on, where did you get that information? What kind of survey? What? Every time we can have an advertiser interrupt us, talk over us, or disrupt that moment means we're winning. And in many cases, we've won, meaning the presentation is over. If we just lean in and answer the questions, and you may literally stop the presentation at that point, and they may say, great, how do I get started? That's how vital it is. That's how key when we talk about your market dominance, okay? It also includes your team training and coaching, your selling strategies, your marketing efforts, which we'll get more granular in a few minutes. But the point is that your team that has the moxie, your team that has the ability to field objections, your team that knows how to handle a tough renewal, your team that knows how to take a no and make it a yes, a team that knows how to prospect, all of these things are also part of what? Your market dominance. Okay? And if you're getting all of those things right, beautiful. If you're not, it can feel rough or tough and be a struggle from that perspective. Let's also talk about how we dominate in a marketplace. We also dominate because we deeply and dearly understand our competitors. Deeply and dearly. You know more about your competitors than you know about your own biz. And that you're able to walk and talk in a side-by-side structure and be able to show what those distinctions are in writing, not by voice. If you do not have a written comparison between you and each of your competitors, it will always, always sound like you're bad-mouthing a competitor on one side, or B, you're really not going to drive your point home. Little story about that. My earliest media days, I had a monthly magazine. I was based in San Diego, monthly magazine. And my competitor came out every 2 weeks. So I had 12 issues. They had 26. And if you took the 26 and divided it by 12, they were always more than me. But can I tell you how many times I had to go in and say, e.g., they are more expensive? No, they're not earnest. They bill every 2 weeks, and they come out every 2 weeks. No, they're less than you. No, they're not. They have 26 issues. We only have 12. Let's do the math together. Until I finally, Jed, put it in writing and could just put it on the table and say, there is a difference. There's the price difference. Oh, okay. And then now let me show you all the other differences. So If you're going to dominate your market, you have to own every competitor. Jed, we're often asked the question, hey, Ernest, today I have more competitors than ever. Which ones do I choose? Well, it starts with where the most money is being allocated. So if you have a second or a third or a fourth print competitor, you have to own all of those. E-newsletters, you need to have those. Websites you're competing with that are selling ads to those same landscapers or tile companies or realtors or RV dealers or whatever it might be, you have to have those as well. Now, a little story related to that, in my Los Angeles sales days, we had 18 competitors, Jed. And this goes back 3 decades ago. 18 competitors, we had a binder for each and every competitor. 30 years ago, I realized that I couldn't walk and talk in the Los Angeles market.
I don't know what makes you sound older. The fact that you had 18 competitors in print, or the fact that you were carrying around binders.
well, binders. Yeah, the binders were in the office on a shelf, right? And we had the newspaper or the magazine tucked in there. We had tabs with their media kit. We kept track of their marketing material. Whatever we could gather up, you know, we were like little squirrels, Jed, little squirrels. We had all this information. And then every time we had an update, we'd go grab the binder in our sales meeting, pull it off the shelf, old school, put it on the table, and update it right there. Boom, there it was.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And I do actually. I thought you were going to laugh and say 18 competitors. That was a lot. We did. We had all. You had the LA Times, and then you had some regional newspapers. Then you had some city magazines. Then you had those that were just in Pasadena, or just in Encino, or just in Santa Monica. So yeah, you're making my you're clearing my head to how many competitors we had. But the point is, I sometimes hear from sales teams, "Oh, Ernest, you know, in the old days, you know, you just had a city magazine, a business journal, a newspaper. You know, you had Yellow Pages. You had 4 or 5 competitors." Well, it's not exactly true, because it was a whole lot more print and magazine competitors back in those days. The bottom line is, you've got to be current. One more related response to that. And if you go into a meeting and you've never heard about a publication, a newsletter, a website, then you have to do what? Do some research and go build your side-by-side comparison from that perspective. So it's an ever-evolving, ever-growing in order to dominate a market. Another piece, how do we dominate a market? We do it with our ad drop reports. Okay? In order to be successful in media sales, you have to be able to see your competitor and know what they're doing. I often share that visual, Jed, about a boxer, right? If you and I are boxing in a ring, you can see me and I can see you. Okay, dang, the punches are flying. We know where each other are. Jed, if I blindfold you in that next moment, you could no longer see me. You're flailing. I can see you. You
right.
Can't see me. Okay? You cannot compete. You cannot dominate a market. Okay, unless you know what's happening, what ads came in new on print, what went away and why. A little whisper, surely if there's something new, I surely hope you would be giving a presentation to that group. Maybe you didn't get the meeting, but I surely hate when I hear, yeah, an advertisement in, I've never seen them before. They're not even in my database, so I guess I should go call them now. Okay, that's true. We're reacting, but we're not proacting. Okay, so when we think about the ad drop reports, why did an ad come in? Why did an ad go out? Huh, that's interesting. 6 pages went out. What happened? Something's going on. Maybe they lost a key sales rep. Maybe they lost their circulation or distribution. Something happened which triggered that. Maybe their ads, you notice, we also notice trends of, how come ads increased? I'll tell you why they increased, because they weren't driving any results or not enough, and they didn't want to lose the advertiser. Maybe there was new budget dollars. Maybe new dollars that because of that, or ads that reduced. A half that went to a quarter that went to an eighth, a full that goes to a third. Right, Jed? You know, those kind of revisions, it needs an explanation. Jed, your comment to that?
It's a great point. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, probably most people on the call know about, but it's worth mentioning, is that there are several services that are either free or very, very low cost that allow you to search every page of most publications in America. And so you can, there's one that we use a lot called Shoom, Shoom, and you can look at every ad in every publication, and in most cases you can see who placed it. So if an agency placed it, you get the name of the agency. You can see, you can categorize it by how many times the ad has run over whatever defined period you're looking for. You can see if it's run in other publications. You can see if it's, you know, the sizes that it's run, and you can actually see the physical ad. So, you know, there are some tools out there, too, that, you know, they don't have, you know, every single small weekly, for example, but they do have most daily papers and most large weeklies. So, so if you're looking in the newspaper space, that's an area that it can, you know, that's a tool that can really help.
Mm-hmm. Yep, perfect. Thank you for that. And just so those of you know, we have done other teleseminars about media comparisons. We've done other teleseminars about just ad drop. For those of you that are part of our Tuesday Academy, this is an ongoing part of our vocabulary, and we go a lot deeper with examples and tools and checklists and so forth. Today we're doing a flyby on the broad strategies, but each of these have granular next steps and added components to that. But to be able to identify your market penetration and market share is key. Case studies, the references, testimonials, recommendations, all of these things sync up beautifully with your dominating a market. It means that your media source is a must-buy. Remember, we already said that you're driving results. You got the results in place. Now you're positioning yourself as a must-buy. In fact, if anything's going to get canceled, it's everybody else, but I'm always going to be in your media space. Number two, we want advertisers to fight for space. All right. For example, for those of you who sell front covers, for those of you that give that prime access, guess what? We want to be sold out all the way through the end of 2020. For those of you, of course, who have prime placement, page two, page three, prime placement in their newsletter, prime placement on the homepage of your website, we want those sold out with a waiting list. We want page 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 12 all sold as premium. And if somebody on page two drops, they go all the way to the back of the list, and they know that. Therefore, they don't. The inspiration for that, pick up your bridal magazines, and you go 30, 40, 70, 100 pages deep, all with prime placement. That was the inspiration for me and continues to be from that perspective. These are the things that we do to dominate in our marketplace. We sell out prime placement. We build waiting lists. We have advertisers really fighting each other. Well, what do you mean if I cancel, they're going to get my spot? Well, when do I get it back? Well, you don't. Well, how long before I get back to page two? You won't. You might be through the next 3 years. You go to the back of the line. Well, hang on. Of course I'm renewing. And I'm going to pay your upcharge. Oh, okay. Then I guess you are. And that's how we want to handle that. Let's field a couple of questions, Jed, that that came in. It'll also sink into the kind of the next part of what we're going to cover. Daniel asks, strategies to overcome. We use Google AdWords, Facebook for all of our advertising. Jed, you want to kick that one off, sort of you know, the classic advertisers, I've got my digital spend.
Sure. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, this is a topic, you know, we could literally talk about all day. And I think that the, you know, I talked about it quite a bit in the teleseminar last month. But one of the things that that you'll find very often is that for advertisers who are spending money with AdWords specifically, is that, you know, they oftentimes are very enamored with the sort of the bells and whistles that go along with it. I mean, it's a really, really user-friendly, neat system that allows you to see exactly how much you've spent, exactly how much you have in your budget, you know, exactly how much you're spending per click. Advertisers, I have found, by and large, and this is true for some very large national companies that are very sophisticated in almost everything that they do, they oftentimes are very poor at taking it to the next step, and that is what's happening with those clicks. So it feels really good to be able to generate, you know, 1,000 visitors to your website at, you know, $5 a click, but if you're not going to take it a step further and really take a look at what's happening to those clicks, you know, is the information is worthless. So what we have done with a group of advertisers we work with is we help them sort of track their sales, and as a result of that, you know, what we're able to see is that the close rates on AdWords leads, on clicks that come to a website from AdWords, are amazingly low. I mean, we're talking in many industries below 1%, which means that, you know, now you're just doing math with your customer, right? It's pretty easy that, you know, okay, if you're generating, you know, 100 clicks and it's costing you $5 per click, and your conversion rate on that to sales is, you know, 1%, you're spending a lot of money for every sale, right? As opposed to print, where you're not going to get as many phone calls or visitors or, you know, website visitors or even physical visitors as you would get through AdWords. But the close rate for print is astronomically higher, right? I mean, the close rate for print for many of our customers, and I would imagine on a more local level, is as good, if not better. Your close rate for most of your customers is probably in the 40 to 50% range. And in some cases, it's even higher, right? Which is, those are numbers that the internet can't even come close to touching, right? So really it comes down to what's a business's goal. Is the goal to generate as much possible traffic as it can for their website, or is their goal to make sales, right? And 99% of the time, they're going to tell you their goal is to make sales. So really what you have to do is you have to break it down. You know, you have to break down how many, you know, what they're paying per click, which, by the way, is easy to figure out. Sign yourself up for an AdWords account. Put in keywords that you think they're using. They're usually pretty obvious. And it'll spit back numbers. And it'll tell you exactly what it will take to bid to be on the, you know, on the first page. So you'll have a very good idea what they're spending. Once you have that number, you know, now it just becomes a, you know, an issue of figuring out what their close rate is. Most industries, there's readily available information, again, through just a basic internet search. There's readily available information about what the average close rate is per industry through AdWords. So, for example, in real estate, you know, I was looking at the other day, you know, they have a close rate of about 1.1%. You know, insurance is something like 1.3%, right? An average keyword for insurance is going for, you know, $20-$25 per click right now. So you can see how expensive AdWords really is. And I think if you break it down and you're able to show your advertiser what they're actually spending to acquire a customer through AdWords, what we have found is more often than not, and almost the vast majority of the time, advertisers will say, yeah, AdWords is very expensive. You know, we can afford to spend a lot more money in print. So that's been my experience. I expect it to be yours too.
No. And Daniel, I think the key point to capture here is that you need to know what those cost per clicks are so you can be knowledgeable so that you can do what? Know your competitors, okay? So certainly important from that perspective. Let's move to our second point because that weaves in, Jed. It's a nice migration to talk about how to leverage your digital and traditional marketing efforts to raise your industry visibility. So there's a couple pieces that we need to talk about. On one side, when you look at your advertisers, where is their footprint? So, for example, beyond just print, beyond just their website, what are they doing on the social media side with blogs, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, anything else that they've got moving around? You've got to know what's happening there, and you need to know the strengths and weaknesses. For example, the biggest shift in the platform of Facebook was about 3 years ago. The word is throttle. It simply means that businesses are no longer getting tucked into the feed unless they're doing what? Paying for it. If you don't know that, then you can't even begin to have a conversation about Facebook. In fact, all you have to do the other way to validate it is go look at the Facebook footprint of those that are your advertisers or prospective advertisers and look to see how little engagement by likes and comments. It's totally different than when you go out and post something of a little birthday party for your daughter and you get 500 likes and 300 comments. You get nothing like that. It's crickets when you go out across the business side. Why? Because Facebook throttles those because they want you to do what? Boost the visibility, which means increase the visibility and pay for ads. Very, very straightforward. But you also need at your fingertips the kind of media articles that talks about these kinds of things so that you can address those particular areas. Even LinkedIn, for those who do a bit more in the business-to-business, oh, yeah, we buy ads on LinkedIn. Oh, yeah, we post on LinkedIn. Guess what? Crickets on that side. All right? You need to understand what changed. The 2.5 million groups in LinkedIn that used to be a very viable source and a resource, crickets, nearly invisible, and that's been for about 3.5 years. The news feed in LinkedIn is a complete mishmash of everything you don't want or you don't need, and LinkedIn has not figured that out. It really is, Jed, and you know we were one of the first 500 to join on LinkedIn 15 years ago. We've watched the rise of 600 million people fold into LinkedIn. We have 20 groups, as you know. We have 130,000 leaders. I can tell you firsthand, crickets. It used to take me 3+ hours to take somebody from newbie to expert in LinkedIn. Today, from newbie to expert is less than 20 minutes. There's nothing to say about the form. About the platform, okay? So you need to understand that if you're going to dominate in your marketplace and you have advertisers that are telling you, well, I do this and I do that. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, we're on Twitter all the time. Oh, really? You know how many followers you have? Have you noticed how many likes you've had in the last 30 days? None. Have you noticed how many replies you had? You had 2. And you have 222 followers. You have to be able to talk straight. Let's talk SEO. How about SEO? When advertisers tell you, you're right, you know, oh, I have a footprint. Oh, I'm seen on Google, or oh, I'm being seen on Bing. Are they? Is that part of your prep? How are you dominating on that side? Let's take it back to the other side. How about your website compared to your competitors? What's happening with your SEO related to your media competitors? Each of these conversations run in tandem when you think about advertisers on one side, what they're doing or not, and then what your media competitors are doing on the other side. You've got to look at it like the double word in Scrabble. How about PPC, pay-per-click, Google AdWords? Jed gave us some wonderful insight to that. You set up an account. You have to know what it costs and how expensive it is for those clicks. You learn what the industry averages are in terms of their response. If you have this information, you win. If you don't, you flail. It's very straightforward. Okay? What about the deployment of Follow Me ads in the world of media? To your website, a pixel is installed. As I move throughout the web, I continue to see an ad. What are we doing related to that strategy? Do you understand how it works? How are you talking to advertisers related to that, and what are their what is their success that they're finding with that? The easiest example, go into Amazon, try to buy an umbrella. Watch the ads that follow you to bring you back to do what? Buy an umbrella, okay? So all of these pieces sort of sync up as part of the way that we dominate a marketplace. You have to understand the digital side, you have to understand your marketing efforts and your own marketing messaging and the way that you are bringing those back to your website, back to your print advertisers, back to your tracking of ad results, right? This is a continual and continuum circle. It goes round and round and round in a circular way. If you miss any piece in that circle, the circle fails, okay? If it's a nice tight circle, like you heard Jed walking through that example for Daniel, right? If you're hearing that level of confidence, that level of information that you need about the marketplace, that level of research and understanding, that's exactly what we're talking about related to market dominance. Let's field a couple of additional calls here, Jed. We have Anita, and Anita sent me a note. Anita's been coming to our calls for 10-plus years. She had actually sent me a note, I think about 11 years ago. She joined our first one and sent me a note this past week. So, Anita, who's in Florida, thank you for your kind notes. You had a question about how to get people to answer your calls and emails. And Anita, I'll just kick this off by saying, if your story is compelling enough, we talked about you being a must-buy. If your story is new and fresh about what you bring, if you have the results to back up what you've done with other advertisers, those are the kinds of things that make advertisers jump. You have to disrupt the status quo. Jed, from your perspective, when we leave voice messages, when we send emails, and we're trying to get, what, an advertiser to engage or an ad agency to give us an opportunity, what insight do you have from that perspective?
It drives the people in my office crazy, but I'm a big believer in being just, like, slightly misleading with the messages that I leave people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say something like, you know, I've got 500, you know, I represent 500 customers who are interested in your product. Give me a call back. You know, I'm gathering prices. You know, because what I want, because I feel very often that if you try to talk to a potential advertiser about space or time or whatever it is that you're selling, right? You know, if you try to talk to them about the commodity of advertising, that is a conversation that as you know, Ernest alluded to earlier when he said, you know, we're salespeople are all the same. I think that he's right, and I think that you know, your sales call is the same as the 20 others that people are receiving. I think that what's better is if you're able to say, you know, I represent a readership that is going to buy, you know, 500 mattresses this year, and we would like a place to buy them that we can feel good about. What are you willing to offer? You know, that, you know, I think that type of attitude where you're representing a readership, where you're representing potential consumers, I think is more compelling than talking about price.
Mm-hmm.
Or space.
Yeah, right. For example, if I were selling to realtors in Miami, just for example, I would love to be able to say, hey, listen, we've generated, you know, 126,000 inbound leads for realtors just like yourself. And I'd love to share with you a story of three of the realtors that sold homes in the last week as a result of working with me and my media group. Exactly, Jed, to your point, talking about what is it we do, what is it we generate, and what is it we've done specifically in that particular slice. If I were selling to pool companies, look, we work with 12 of the 18 pool companies in the market. We'd like to speak to you. I'll walk you through how the 12 are doing broadly, but last year we generated 6,000 inbound calls that we've tracked for them at an average pool price of $30,000. That represents $24 million in pool buying potential. I'd like to talk to you about how we can help you with that. Okay,
right. And these I are think the that makes a right? huge. That's a huge difference. It's a huge difference in philosophy, right? The other thing, Ernest, that maybe you can talk a little bit about, but I think it's a lot harder to approach in a sales call. But I feel like whatever it's become important is the value of the content which many publications are producing. You know, and you know, it's become more valuable than ever, and I feel like the average citizen now values it more than ever. And so, you know, in many cases, you know, the publications that, you know, are on this call, for example, are generating content which is completely unique to their niche or their geographic region or whatever focus they have. You know, the content that's being produced is really valuable. And I think that more than ever, that's something that can be sort of integrated in a sales approach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The content, the readership, the buying power. For example, if I were selling ads for an RV publication plus newsletter plus website, I'd be talking about the average age, you know, of the buyer, the average price that they buy, how often they come back to buy another RV, whether they choose new or used, how far they're willing to drive to go test another one, or if the prices are different for different RVs. I'd want to have all that wrapped into my media presentation so I can really talk about that, because then if I have an overlay of that and I combine that with the number of inbound calls, number of calls that are coming in a given year, I have what? The total potential buying power of my readership, right? And their level of engagement for what's moving around related to RVs and the buying potential that I could present to an RV dealer from that perspective. So, Anita, again, we're hoping that that helps you. There's a question from Max in Pennsylvania, who says, how do I get sales reps to stop thinking of selling price rather than value? Max, I'm going to share with you the infamous value key visual, and here we go. Max, I'm holding a key in my hand. It's just a key. Will you pay me $10,000 for that key? To which you say, Ernest, there's no value in that. That it would be the stupidest thing. It's a key that costs you 10 cents. Why would I ever pay you $10,000? That's a classic price conversation. Okay? Max, let's move it to value. Max, I'm holding a key. For $10,000, that is the key to a $200,000 Rolls Royce. Buy the key for 10, sell the Rolls Royce, put $190,000 in your pocket. Classic value. What does that mean? Buy an ad with me for $10,000, drive $200,000 in product sales. You create that value. And you can, of course, take that equation to whatever best works for you and your model, but I'm using a quick example that basically says only you and your sales team, Max, can create that kind of value. And if you don't, then it's just a key, it's just a transaction, and it's just price. And you will forever be on your heels selling against that. And just a little placeholder, you might say, oh, but the internet, and oh, but the digital, and oh, but Google, and oh, but Facebook. Is exactly the same conversation 30 years ago before the internet, 20 years ago before the internet. It was always the same conversation. It was about either you create value or it's about price. Okay? Jed, comment or observation for Max on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's true, right? I mean, one of the things which is interesting about print in general and probably, you know, all advertising is that when you talk to an advertiser about the price for what they're getting, you know, in relation to, you know, the size of the ad that they're getting or the frequency that they're getting, no one ever sees that they're getting a good deal, right? I mean, you could take your rate card price and reduce it by 95%. And I've had this happen to me, right? I've had publications offer me, you know, literally 95% off rate card. I'll go to the advertiser, I'll say, here's the price, and they'll say, you know, still seems a little high, you know, right? Because there's no agreed upon way to determine what the original price is based off of, right? The rate card price is essentially an arbitrary price, right? It's a price that is being set. I'm not saying it's arbitrary in the sense that it's not set for good reasons. I mean, it's arbitrary in the advertiser's mind, right? So as long as that price is arbitrary, then it really means nothing. And that's why I think what it should be based off of is potential results. I've often thought, you know, for example, if you're a publication that does very well with a senior audience, for example, you know, maybe you should charge more for senior-related products. Maybe if someone wants to advertise, you know, something that's focused on, you know, 35 to 40-year-old, maybe their price is a little bit lower. Why? Right? Because you want to prove that market can work, right? So maybe it's not about space as much as it is about potential results.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly it. So, Max, we're hoping that's helpful for you as well. Appreciate your question regarding that. Jed, let's shift to the third part that we promised to cover today, and that is the key components to positioning your media group as thought leaders, and how does this generate market dominance, okay? So a little story about this. I can remember being in Southern California in my early media days, and I was going to an association event, and I knew that there was a panel that was going to be presenting about advertising and marketing, but I didn't know who was on the panel until I sat in the room and looked up at the front of the room and realized, holy smokes, my competitor was there, and I'm sitting in the seat. In that moment, Jed, I felt frosted. I felt frosted. I felt outplayed, outsmarted, outwitted, and I didn't know why I was sitting in that chair when my competitor was at the front of the room and I should have been there as well. And that was one of those moments in time that I felt like they were dominating and I was not. And that's really the subject of what we're talking about here today. So there are those opportunities to dominate. And speaking is one of those ways. If I'm selling ads to RV dealers, if I'm selling ads to realtors, if I'm selling ads to car dealers, it doesn't matter what the slice is, I need to be visible in their professional organizations. And how am I visible? Obviously, front of the room. I want to be the keynote. I want to be on a panel. At the very least, I want to be moderating the panel. I want to be at the front of the room. The association did all the marketing, all the heavy lifting to bring all those RV dealers or realtors or car dealers or landscapers or whatever the category is. All I've got to do is show up, put my shoes on, and be in the front of that room. And it's as though I'm an authoritative source and an authoritative resource. So to be at the front of the room, and there are many shortcuts to getting yourself or those on your team positioned at the front of the room, and many strategies for those of you who are part of our Tuesday Academy. We work on these very specific step-by-step strategies. But very broadly, be at the front of the room. You dominate, and it's easier than you could imagine. Number two, write for, if your association has a magazine or an e-newsletter or a blog or a spot on their website, wherever they have content that can be read by RV dealers or realtors or whomever are their members, have something there on a regular basis that you write about advertising and marketing strategies. And once again, members perceive that as the association has endorsed you and your media group for that kind of written information. It's as though they endorse you, which is why you're at the front of the room speaking or moderating or you're sitting on a panel. Okay? Another way that we dominate, we touched on a little bit earlier, white papers. White paper research. You don't have to go it alone. Many of our media clients do it in-house, but you can also partner with others in the space and sector and pull together white paper information. In other cases, you might be part of professional associations that already have the information, so you can use those white papers to further support your presentation and your media kit. It works either way, and I'm fine and comfortable with either side. Press releases, sharing your media story, new news, new people joining your team, work in the community. Even if you're reaching out into the community and working with nonprofits and you're planting a garden or you're working with a Habitat for Humanity and you're putting up a home over the weekend or doing a 5K walk for the Heart Association, it doesn't matter. Tell your story and show that you're engaged in the community. Remember, we're not skipping over. You still have to drive results. You still have to track results. We're not skipping over any of that. Assuming all of that, these are the additional things that we do above and beyond. For those of you, depending on your audience, but for example, if you're a business journal and you're going to go do a charity walk at the end of this month, it's a fantastic way to bring advertisers and prospective advertisers on board. They rally their teams. They come to your booth. You've got nice shirts waiting for everybody. Everybody remembers that long after the event. These are ways to further dominate in your marketplace. Back to your professional associations, if it's possible, chair one of those committees. You know the committees, a trade show committee. Chair a committee for the golf tournament, a black tie, an award, you know, kind of event. Chair those kinds of things. It's incredible visibility. How do we do it as well? We chair the committees that are places where we have our largest advertisers and our largest prospective advertisers, so we work smart, okay? In addition, some of our media groups, some of them have done what? Written books. Some of you have radio shows or podcasts you put on. Some of you put on educational webinars or teleseminars, much like we do here. These are all those kinds of opportunities. And for some of our media clients, they have wonderful media quotes, or they're often cited or quoted in media stories. So there's a whole host of things, of layers way beyond just, can I sell a page of ads? Can I get an ad sold in my newsletter or my website? There's lots of ways to get visibility for your media group, and all of them matter and all of them count. Nothing matters more, right, than getting our results and driving our results, okay? But the bottom line is that there are additional ways that we can dominate a marketplace and far outrun a competitor. Jed, your observations regarding these points?
Yeah, I think they're all great ideas. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously every industry is different. And one of the things that I sort of like best about my job is you know, when I'm talking to an advertiser, I'm often amazed at just how much information they will give me, right, about, you know, personally, you know, how they got into this business, or, you know, and then as far as the history of the actual business goes, you know, how they ended up where they are and what sort of story they have behind them and what's going on in the industry. And, you know, a lot of times I'll hear about things that, you know, weeks or months ahead of time, and then I'll see in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal an article, you know, outlining, you know, the exact trend that was told to me, you know, a month ago, right, and by someone who I just happened to be talking to. So I feel like, you know, there's real opportunity for anyone involved in the advertising world to become an expert in a particular, you know, vertical or a particular, you know, niche, just by talking to people and then sharing that information, not necessarily in a proprietary way, but just in a general way, with other people that they work with. I mean, you know, it's, you know, if you know something about, you know, about consumer trends based on something that one advertiser told you, you know, that's something that my guess is a lot of other people related to that industry would want to know about. I think that it can really be useful and very valuable.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And that's really the very essence of what we're talking about here. You know, related to dominating in terms of your marketplace. So, listen, as we've sort of worked through these strategies, each of these, sort of think about the visual of a burlap bag. A burlap bag is nothing more than what? A ball of string, right? That ball of string, if you stitch it together and you weave it together, it's a burlap bag. It'll hold something. Unravel that string, it's back to what? A ball of string. Market dominance is just like this. Each and every part of these strategies, rare if ever or never will your competitors deploy them, and yet they're the strategies that our clients utilize over and over every day to outrun, to outperform, to outsell, and to outrenew. Most of your competitors will never get what we're talking about. They'll never put all the pieces together. They'll not see that burlap bag for all that it's worth. They want to come in, sell their ads, capture their renewals, and wake up for another day. Those of you who are here, those of you who we coach around the world, those of you who join our Tuesday Ad Sales Committee Academy, the bottom line is that you know that you want so much more. And the other part of it is that it's not just so much more today, tomorrow, the next day. But you know that feeling when you go out for a run or a walk and the wind's at your back and it's kind of pushing you along, or you're riding your bicycle and the wind's at your back? That's the feeling. That's nirvana in media ad sales. And when you put the pieces together that we've talked about today, that feeling of the wind at your back, there's no better feeling. Have you walked into your conference room and looked up on the board and seen 40 and 50 new ad sales? Have you looked up on the board and seen 40 or 50 renewals, 100% renewal? You know, that's what it feels like, and it takes more than a media kit, a magazine, a website, and a hope and a promise that you're going to continue to get those renewals and drive those sales. It is a, there's a formula for success, and we're hoping that's what you'll take as we wrap up here today. As always, as we come in, week out, for 24 years, for the 10-plus years that Jed and myself come together and share these strategies every month with you, you inspire us. Send us your questions. Tell us what your greatest challenges are. Tell us where your greatest opportunities are. We love those. And every single month, you make us stretch and you make us sweat. Sweat to bring our best and stretch to make certain that we're staying on the cusp of all the very best practices in the media space around the world. So it's always a pleasure to be working here together. I'm going to encourage each of you and all of you, to, for those of you who already work with MediaBids, you know their fine reputation and the wonderful results they bring, and you know how much they enjoy working with you. Go to MediaBids.com if you're not aware of the work they do, and make certain you're working with them. And then certainly come into our website, PowerHour.com, click on Media and Magazine, the box for Media Magazine, and we'd love to always talk to you about the work that you're doing and how we might help and coach you from that perspective. Jed, how about some closing words as we wrap up here for today?
Yeah, no, well, you know, I think we covered a lot of ground, and, you know, and I hope that, people are able to take a few things away from this that are beneficial. I think that, you know, I always learn a lot, and I appreciate everyone's time. And Ernest, thanks for all you bring to this room.
Perfect. So thank you so much to all of you, and we'll see you next month. Yet always a pleasure working together. Okay.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Take care.